wallofsound.org. I can see there's much hope in changing this world when no one's listening.
All right, this is Ricky from Wall of Sound in Western Australia. I'm here with Jason from Barry Tomorrow. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Very well, thank you. You?
I'm doing very well. Congrats on the very fresh release of Earthbound. What's the feedback been so far?
The feedback's been amazing, man. It's been really cool. We've dropped two singles and a couple of grab tracks as well. So, yeah, it's been really good. And, I mean, since release day, it just seems to have got better and better. So, if a lot of people hate it, I don't know yet.
I'm sure there won't be too many of them. So, I guess fans seem to be referring to the fourth album as a heavier direction for the band. Would you tend to agree with this?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a bit of everything we've done before, you know, and I think part one of, you know, throughout our three albums, we've tried to be heavier before, and I think it's always been a good decision for us to go down musically and technically. So we've decided to go heavier for this one, but also bring back a few things from our less heavier days, from our first two records. Just it's a bit of a mix, man. It's the heaviest we can be with the most melodic we can be as well, so it's cool.
And it tends to integrate quite well, I guess, because you've got the best parts of the older material and, I guess, the heavier direction from maybe the third album, Runes, as well.
Yeah, with Runes, we just wanted to make a super heavy Balls Out record that was really, was obviously influenced by the people we wanted to be influenced by, you know, and I think whereas Union and Portrait before that, it was a case of, I guess, just the record at the time. We're all older now, you know. I think Earthbound is a more mature record just purely because we're older, you know. I think it's just the test of time. If we were going to get here, we were always going to write a record like Earthbound. It was just about getting here, really.
All about that journey, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it's a long one. I think, you know, I've done a couple of interviews recently, and I get asked that question, and I feel like this album was inevitable to a certain point, because but it was just what wasn't inevitable was us being still here, four albums in, still writing music together. So, you know, I'm just glad we got here so we could write this record and show people our version. I think we can get better, and I think we can write better. But I think that I didn't ever know that we could write something this. You know, I used to listen to a lot of metalcore when I was 15, 16, and you know, when you listen to music that you love and you're like, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do that myself. You know. This is the first record I listen to, and I hear bands that I used to love when I was a kid, so it's cool.
That's awesome, Jason. Obviously, continuous improvement is a big value for Barry Tomorrow, going really well for you guys. But I was interested in the song 301 particularly, that features Hatebreed frontman and hardcore royalty, Mr. Jamie Jasta. It's a really cool track. What was it like working with Jamie?
Yeah, man, it was really easy. It was really... we've never done guest vocals before. It's not something that we ever thought about doing, and we kind of just didn't go out of our way to do it. It kind of just happened quite organically, quite naturally. Like about a year ago when we were on tour, Jamie hit Dan up to just speak on his podcast, and he'd heard the band, he dug what Dan was about and the message he was trying to give out. So yeah, he just went along for a chat, and they got on really well. They didn't really talk about, you know, guest vocals or anything or being on a record with us. It was just a mutual respect thing. And then I think we started writing the record about four months after that, and we had a couple of bits that were, I guess, Hatebreed-esque, because obviously we listen to Hatebreed about when we were kids, and we are influenced by it, I mean, whether we like it or not. So that just comes across in the riffs we write. And we wrote a couple of riffs that were definitely Hatebreed-esque, you know, vibes. And we thought, well, let's try and write something with Jamie in mind. And then if he doesn't want to do it, then that's cool. We can just carry on, and it won't really change the sound. And if he does, then great. And it was literally a case of, we got to the studio, we kind of didn't plan it very well. We kind of not forgot, but we just kept putting off. Obviously, the record was the most important thing. So, and we'd never done guest vocals, so we weren't really too sure how far in advance we'd have to hit people up. So we kind of just put it off. And then as soon as we got to the studio, it was a case of, we finished the first sort of demo track of it, like before we really did a lot of pre-production, and we just sent that part over. We sent that little section over to him, literally just saying, hey man, if you want to throw something down on this, great. If you don't, no worries. Like kind of giving him the option not to reply, and that'd be okay, basically. No, it was that type of thing. And within 20 to 40 minutes, he sent us back his part. We were like, no way, he sent that back already. And we're like, that's probably the best thing he could have done to it. It just, this all worked like that really well, you know. So yeah,
it's really cool, I guess, in this day and age where you can sort of collaborate with other musicians on the other side of the world and actually make it happen within minutes, like you say.
Yeah, man, technology is a crazy thing. And yeah, it's cool, especially for a UK band. Obviously, you know, he hasn't heard of our band for years and years. Like, he's not, we're very much a UK-based band, especially in the early stages. It's not like we've been on his radar for a while either. So he must have just really quickly made a decision. He's done what we did and he wanted to be a part of it. So. Yeah, so we're doing some shows with Hatebreed in Europe in the summer, so we're all fingers crossed that he gets to play with us and we can make that happen.
Very exciting. Yeah, Jasper seems to have a bit of an eye for talent around the world, and he's has certainly got quite a following with that podcast he's got. But yeah, as you say, you guys have some really hit tours coming up. I've seen some names like Bless the Fall and some other big names in metalcore like Killswitch Engage, Atreyu, and of course our fellow Aussie Titans, Parkway Drive and Die Hard Is Murder. Is it just all so much happening at once?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think we haven't toured for a while. We haven't, you know, we played some festivals in June, July, and August, but it was very sparse, and it was main. You know, we were writing a lot of that time, so we haven't properly toured for a while. And I think we wanted to make sure we came out with this record and went on tour with the right band. We've made a lot of decisions in the last 2 years to get to the position where we can tour with the right bands. You know, we felt years ago that we weren't getting on the right bills with the right band, and that was affecting us. And you know, you're always impatient when you're trying to make it as far as in music. You're always wanting to be playing with the band you want to be playing with. You think, oh, we haven't got this, and this is why we're not getting to here. And I think this is the first touring cycle we sit at the start of, I guess, with a record as well, and think, no, we are going to get the best opportunity we're going to get to play to the fans that would potentially like our music. And I'd say that we've had that in dribs and drabs over the last three records, but we've never had like a full campaign of it, which we seem to at the moment have going forward, especially until October, November time. So yeah, we've got obviously Parkway next week that starts, and we've got 4 days in the UK, and then we do Empiricon Festivals and the Empiricon Progression Tour, which is, you know, it's cool. It shows, obviously, we're headlining the Progression Tour, which is great as well, because that shows that we've, all the hard work we've been putting into Germany and the surrounding areas has paid off, really, hopefully, I guess.
Absolutely, and I guess the headlining spot says it all. And of course, you know, being able to tour with some of these big bands, it's such a great marketing campaign in itself. You get exposed to such a wide fan base, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's the best thing about doing this. It's like you get to live your dream and enjoy playing with bands that you loved when growing up, like we do, like Killswitch and Atreyu, as you mentioned. And then also we get to grow our business, our career, our livelihood at the same time. And it's just interweaves, and that can be really tough at times, but it can also be super rewarding. And I think it will be tough down the line. It's been tough before, but right now we're in a really good spot, and we're just going to try and enjoy it as much as we can, I think.
I think it's a great idea. Now, mate, I think the idea of Bury Tomorrow touring with Parkway and Die Hard Is Murder is a particularly fantastic idea. What are the chances of bringing that tour package down under?
Oh, love to, man. Love to. our booking agent is actually Australian. He lives in London, but he's Australian. So he's definitely keen for us to get back out there. I mean, we've been there before. We came out, not last year, but the end of 2014, I believe, with I Killed the Prom Queen and the Ghost Inside, and that was amazing. We'd never been to Australia before. It was great to dip our toes and just kind of see what it was all about, and see if, you know, our type of sound was dug over there, and yeah, it was great. So one of our main priorities in the next 12 months is getting back out to Australia. I think, you know, you guys have got, other than America and the UK, you've got, and Europe, you know, I think there's four parts of the world that have a big love for melodic metal, I guess is the best way to call it, and we like to think that we do that really well, and we like to think we do that as well as bands you've got over there. We want to just come over and show our cards, I guess is the best way to say it. Hopefully we get to go out with Parkway and they think that we're not horrendous people and they want to maybe take us out over there. That's a dream, I guess. Or die art, you know.
I like your ideas. What was it like when you were in Australia? How did you sort of receive the crowd?
Yeah, it was really cool, man. Obviously, we were on like second or third every night, it was cool. It was like a regional run, so we got to play some really out there places. You know, we went to like Wollongong and played Byron Bay. We played quite a few places like Katoomba and loads of places like that, which was cool. And for our first time, it was think it was quite important for us to see that, because obviously, like in Australia with the big festivals that you've had and you have, like, it's hard to come over and play those types of shows sometimes, you know, with the industry we're in. And hopefully that's going to put us in good stead for when we come over again. You know, people will remember us coming out to their small little town. And although it was an absolute pleasure and I'd do it all over again, you know, hopefully people would stoke that we did that and we came out and we saw them, and hopefully they'll be like, well, okay, well, we'll travel to the big cities to see them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd be happy to have you guys, and I think you should have a chat to that Aussie tour manager of yours and get things rolling. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely, mate. No doubt. After this phone call, I'll put this phone down and phone it.
That's what I like to hear, mate. Now, I've got to tell you something a bit funny. I was doing some Googling, obviously, and I Googled Jason Cameron. Did you know that there's a Jason Cameron in America that's a big-time TV presenter?
Yeah, I did know that, because he takes my name, like my caption, you know, like my mention name. I have to put an underscore at the end of, because he's got the real one. So.
Oh, no. He's taking the handle on Twitter and Instagram.
I know of him. I'd love to meet him. I don't think he's doing as well as he was anymore. I think he used to be a bigger deal than he was now, but I'm not 100%. There's so many TV channels in America, I think. So many TV stars, so many TV presenters.
Mate, I think it's going to work. We're going to have to get that name back to you.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Well, if the band keeps getting bigger, I've got more of a reason to kick up a fuss.
I like it. I think you've got a good plan. Well, look, mate, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us at Wall of Sound in Australia.
Wish
you the best of luck with all your amazing touring and with the new album, and we hope to see you guys soon.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I hope to see you soon, too.
All of the music, none of the crap. Wallofsound.org.